In this episode, you're going to get a crash course in motivation, a brutal truth about meaningless work, and how to reignite your team's energy. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. So in this episode, you're going to learn the secret of communicating a leadership skill, communication skill that's going to help you transform morale, productivity, and trust, help your team solve problems before they happen, navigate change. This is your ability to navigate change, tough conversations, and even more with grace and influence. And really, this is one critical skill. It's one word, one concept that leaders so overlook that fuels burnout, kills productivity, and multiplies problems. And to introduce you to this concept, I want to take you back to when I was 16. I had just told my father that I wanted to be a vegetarian, and he was excited. He jumped off the couch, runs over to his file cabinet, and he starts going through his files, and he pulled out a couple of articles and gave them to me because, you see, my father was a vegetarian. And so he was excited that I wanted to be a vegetarian. Now, if you're going to be a vegetarian, there are a couple of ways you can do it. I have some friends that are vegetarians. They just eat Pringles and Snickers and they call it good. I mean, after all, they're not eating meat. But if you want to do it properly, you have to balance your amino acids, get the right nutrients, and all those things. And so that's what these articles were about, because he was a vegetarian. So they were articles he had saved over the years about how to do it well. This is pre-internet days. And so he shared these articles with me and I studied them. I invested in my vegetarianism and I was a strict practicing vegetarian for 3 excruciating days. That's right. My experiment being a vegetarian only lasted 3 days. So you might imagine my response when my daughter came to her mom and I when she was 16 and said, "Hey guys, I want to be a vegetarian." So of course I tried to be helpful and supportive, and I don't know if it was because of my fatherly wisdom or, you know, maybe despite it, but our daughter went on with her plan. And for many years, she was a practicing vegetarian, even living in a different country. So the question is, what was the difference between my short-lived experiment and my daughter's lasting lifestyle change? I don't think it was just my fatherly support. Now let's go back and look at me. Why do you think I wanted to be a vegetarian? And you might think it was because I wanted to be like my father. That was not it. I'm not proud of this, but the simple truth in my adolescent brain, I figured being a vegetarian would somehow make me more interesting and help me get a date. I mean, I don't know. What are you thinking when you're 16? But that's the truth. Now, contrast that motivation, which was shallow and meaningless and quite irrational, with my daughter's reasons. She wanted to live in a more sustainable, less impactful lifestyle. She didn't want to inflict harm on other creatures, and she wanted to eat a healthier diet. Now, whatever you might think of those 3 reasons, whether they mean anything to you or not, they were incredibly meaningful for her. And ultimately, the difference in our behavior, my 3 days versus her multiple years, came down to one thing: our reasons why. Her whys were deep, they were compelling, they were lasting. Mine were shallow, and they were short-lived as a result. So what's all that have to do with leadership? Well, think about the work that you ask of your team. The work are the what's, the reports, the calls, the meetings, the manufacturing, the patrols, the planning calculations, the way you interact with customers. It's all the stuff that we do. Now, the critical leadership question, in fact, the question that's so vital, so full of life and energy and potential that I can confidently say it's the most important question you can ever answer for your team. The question is just why? Not a question about great metaphysical or philosophical dilemmas. It's about the most practical question every team member needs to be able to answer. Why are they doing what they're doing? One of the most important jobs you have as a leader is to connect every what that you ask to a compelling and meaningful reason why you're asking it. Now, the problem is This breaks down all the time, even with leaders who know better. And that's why I say this is, it really is one word leaders overlook constantly. And it's not because you don't know. Okay, I'm sure you've heard, oh yeah, I need to know why, or I need to communicate why. Why does it break down? Let's get a little bit deeper into what happens when it breaks down, then get into that why and solve that for us. There's a classic 1967 movie called Cool Hand Luke. A classic film. If you haven't seen it, recommend it. But Paul Newman plays a character who is serving time in a prison chain gang. And there's this scene where he is forced to dig a ditch. And his character is one, he's kind of got an unbreakable spirit. And so the jailers force him to repeatedly dig and then refill the same ditch. It's meaningless labor. And the only point of that meaningless labor is to break his spirit. And so if you think about it, when you don't connect the what of what you're asking to the why you're asking it, you're basically giving your team prison labor, the only purpose of which is to break their spirit. So as you're examining your team, reflecting on your own leadership, the question to ask here is, are any of your staff, any of your team, any of your department, any of your company, are they doing work that's disconnected from real meaning and purpose? And if so, there are two possible reasons for that. So if they are disconnected from real meaning and purpose, the first possibility here is that they don't understand the why behind the work. The second possibility, and the worst one, frankly, is that there isn't any legitimate why. And this happens as organizations grow, as things expand. Something that was meaningful once, sometimes it'll continue under the force of inertia, tradition. And if you don't challenge it, that inertia can eventually sap the life out of your team. What's without whys are a waste. They waste time, they waste energy, they waste your people. But when you're able to say, hey, listen, I believe this matters and here's why, you give your team clarity, hope, purpose. You also create the opportunity for that belief to be challenged. And that's a good thing. Every single task performed by every single member of your team should somehow serve the mission of your organization. And if not, it should be, it needs to be challenged. And that's everyone's responsibility. You need to re-examine it, find a better way, or even eliminate the task. Otherwise, you're sentencing your team to prison labor, and it will ultimately break their spirit, kill the morale, kill your productivity. Okay, one more example of connecting what to why. In a really practical sense here, Karen and I were sharing a workshop with a group of engineers, clients of ours, and one of them raised his hand as we were talking about this, and his name was Matt, and he said, you know, when I was 17 years old, don't worry, there's no vegetarian in this story. When I was 17 years old, I worked at a hardware store, and our manager had a rule. The rule was that if a customer asked if we had a part, we had to go back to the stockroom and look for it, and then come out and tell the customer, yes, we have it, or no, we don't, but happy to order that for you. Well, in addition to being a cashier, one of Matt's other responsibilities, he explained, was he managed the stockroom. So when they were out of things, Matt said, I would reorder. And I was literally 20 minutes out from working the stockroom. I knew everything we had in the store. I had just reordered. I knew what we had. I knew what we didn't have. And then I had a customer come up to my cash register and ask me, hey, listen, I'm looking for this particular bracket. Do you have it? And Matt said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't. I'd be happy to order that for you. And after he finished the transaction, his manager pulled him off the cash register and laid into him. Listen, if you ever do that again, you're fired. You know the rule. And Matt explained how he thought that manager was such a jerk, just couldn't stand the guy. And he really thought about quitting right then, but didn't. Worked out the rest of the summer, but never went back. And then he told us, he said, you know, I didn't really think about that situation again until just this past summer when my wife and I got our first house and I'm remodeling the deck. So I go to the hardware store because I needed some deck screws, and I went to the bin where they were, but it was empty. So went up, found somebody who could help and said, hey, listen, I'm looking for this deck screw. Do you have any? And they told me, oh no, man, sorry, we don't, but I can order some. And Matt said, it all came flooding back. My experience, because this instinct rose up in me and I said, well, now, wait a minute. Aren't you going to check? And Matt explained that it was at that moment he realized the act of going back and checking was an act of empathy for the customer. You know, leaving them feeling like, listen, I'm going to leave no stone unturned in the search for the thing that you need. It wasn't knowing whether you had it or not. It was the act of looking that mattered to the customer. And Matt said, now I get it. But back then I didn't. And I wish my manager would have explained that to me instead of just laying down this rule that felt arbitrary and warning me I'd get punished if I didn't follow it. He could have explained the why. Now I understand it. And I just think that is such a great example of the power of connecting what to why and the damage that happens when you don't. So, what are the reasons why you're asking your team, your company, for the work you're asking? Now, why do leaders leave this out? Well, we already talked about the fact maybe there isn't a good why, or we don't know that why. And if that's the case, that's work you need to do, to ask those questions and find out. Another thing that gets in the way is sometimes leaders get really defensive when people ask them why. I've seen this happen so many times. Somebody says, you know, okay, so why are we doing this? Why do we need to do this? And the leader takes that as a challenge. Now, part of this is it's based in our brain biology. A why can feel challenging. Aren't you just going to accept that I've given this to you because I'm the boss? Well, okay, you can ask that or even expect it from people. But if you're the kind of leader who wants to be human-centered, who wants an empowered team, who wants people that can solve problems and are energized about their work, treat that why question as a gift. Unless you've already explained it 17 times and checked for understanding and they really should have it and they've demonstrated previous understanding, that's the only exception I would say. Otherwise, treat that why question as a gift, as an opportunity to connect those dots for people. And then the third thing that happens, and this is one of the most frequent, frankly, people just get in a hurry. And you have a senior leader who communicates something and says, okay, here's what we need to do. And they assume, you know, my direct reports, they're senior leaders themselves. They're getting paid good money. They know what's going on. They know the why. And then those leaders in a hurry, and they pass down the what, but not the why, and so on and so forth until it trickles all the way down throughout the whole company. And no one knows the why, but everybody assumes that everybody gets it. That's very common. So to avoid any of these reasons, make it a commitment for yourself. Connect every what you ask to a why. You even do this when you're starting a tough conversation. You're having an accountability conversation or having a tough problem-solving conversation. Start with the why. And in powerful phrases, we give you a phrase for this. My intent for this conversation is ... fill in the blank. So that ... fill in the blank. My intent is this, so that this. You're essentially sharing, why am I having this conversation? Getting it the motivation up front. People don't have to guess. Connect every what to a why, and not only do you energize your team, you give them the ability to focus on what matters most, to solve problems that matter. You'll build trust with your team, and ultimately, you'll build a team that can figure out how to get results without you having to be with them every step of the way. Now, before we close, a quick warning. This one comes with a warning. Yes, that one word, don't leave out the why. But don't use a powerful why as a band-aid when a system's broken. And I've seen leaders, I've seen organizations do this. They have a powerful mission, great mission, and they constantly rally people to it. But when people start to point out problems, those leaders will toxically shut down conversation by saying, you know, if you really cared about our why, you would. If you ever find yourself saying, hey, if you really cared about our why, you would, and the answer is not address something that needs to be addressed, push, pause, stop. Because the truth is, if your team's dealing with a broken system and you really care about your why, you'll fix the system, not artificially try to juice your team to plow through it. And yeah, that's one more benefit of a clear and compelling why. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. Why? So you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Thanks as always to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, connect every what to a meaningful, compelling reason why, and be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS Store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.